Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. And it's another great day, as Mr. Rogers can say, in the neighborhood. It's absolutely gorgeous out. It's a gorgeous fall day. And, wow, just thank God we're alive and we're able to serve Him on another day. Don't forget to ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Because, you know, we think we know, but do we really? Well, think about that. How would you know? You wasn't there when the creation began. You wasn't there when God made the plan. So how would you know? We don't. That's why we have to ask. That's why He tell you to ask, to seek, and to knock. Because you don't know. I don't know. We don't know. Got to go to the Master. What is it? What did you create, Father God, for this day? And what was my role in this day? How can I serve you this day? Wow. That's the way we have to do it. And if we do it any other way than that, we have trials and errors, and then we have more challenges than we want to deal with for that day. Persecutions will come, he said, but they come even more when we are not aligned with the Word of God, because we're just allowing ourselves to float out in the atmosphere, assuming that we know something, and we really don't know. We don't know. So just a little thought there that you can think about. Again, for the newcomers coming on, good morning. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the round table with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. We're live here each Saturday morning from 10 to 11, talking to you and sharing with you the Word of God as He placed it on our heart. If you want to contact us, you can always reach me at Dr. Bessie 1, that's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1, at gmail.com. You can visit us on our website. Go to mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. Let us hear from you. Let us hear what you're thinking. And I thank you, the ones that do text and send emails and let us know what you think about the show and, you know, and how it affects you and things like that. I don't do a lot of that because, you know, that's just not, I'm not trying to put somebody out on Front Street. So when I get those, as a Christian clinical psychologist, I deal with them and I let them go back, you know, any answers back to that person. I'm not going to get up on Saturday morning and talk about who wrote about what. But I thank you. I thank you all for listening. I thank you for going to the archives and listening. More people do that than I can imagine. And they're hearing the word. And we send it out on social media. And it's just going wherever the Lord wants it to go. That's what I want to share with you this morning. Just know that when you hear us, you're hearing the Lord. He's going to speak to you. So let me go get my co-host here. Bear with me. The switchboard is doing what it's doing. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you this morning?
I am just fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just wanted to make a quick comment before we go into prayer. You said something that's definitely so important. Ask the Master and praise God, because when you're not here, you're not here. I'm going to my cousin's funeral, his wife's funeral today, a young woman in her 50s. And I just want to just thank God that we have a chance today to just say thank you. You tell us to say thank you. We must be thankful, for this is the day, and this is the only, we're not promised to this evening, no less than tomorrow. So I just want to say thank you for making that important declaration today, because it's so important that we get in the habit of thanking God for every day that he allows us, and he is worthy to be praised. Sometimes we forget, sometimes we forget and we take him for granted. We take life for granted until we don't have it anymore, until family members start to leave us. And, so I just wanted to put that out there this morning. And thank you for even bringing it to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With that being said, would you like to give us the prayer this morning?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how. Father God, sometimes we don't even know how to come before you. It's not an excuse. It's reality. By that same token, we thank you, Father God, for when you're nudging on our hearts. Do say thank you. Just look up and say thank you. I heard a statement this week about when you're in a hospital bed, the only thing you can do is look up. And so, Father God, we thank you for this day that we're able to look up. We're able to say thank you, Father God. Father God, I pray for family members around the world, and we're all family if we're believers of you and your son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, I come before you, thanking you, Father God, for yet another chance to get it right, another chance to be mindful of the fact that you don't have to give us or do anything for us. You've already done enough. But, Father God, if you continue to allow us here, help us to be mindful that we should be thankful. And I read something on Facebook this week. A little boy, I saw a vision of a little boy drinking from a muddy water holes, and the person stated, God, if I complain, forgive me. And I asked to say thank you for what we have. We have so much, but we're never grateful. We always want more. And so, Father God, we're thankful for what you have given us to this day, because you said that you would supply our daily bread. And so, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for this radio show and the host, Father God, her fearless Dr. Beth Fletcher, as she's been on this journey for so many years. I thank you that you chose me to walk this journey with her. We thank you for our other co-host, Deborah, who's not with us today, but we know she's with us in spirit. We thank you for her and her, the wisdom and knowledge that you impart in her, Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for what you're using us to do, Lord Jesus, because we know we don't have a ministry. It's your ministry that we're continuing to affect the lives of your people. And so, Father God, with that, I just say thank you. I thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing and all that you will do this day for us. And let us be mindful that you are worthy to be praised for your mercies every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yep, it's sometimes I look back and I think about what Jesus said. He said, you think about we could not a human on this earth, go through what Jesus went through. And he only asked us, when you remember me, eat this bread and drink this wine, just remember me. What a small price to pay. You know, he's not asking you to go hang on a cross. He's not asking you to do something. He said, just remember me. And so I think, you know, that if, when we align ourselves with the Word of God and we just do what he asks us to do, that's where that shield of protection come in. That's why he says, I will, you know, I will shield you from the enemy. You know, it's like putting the blood over your door. And when death come by, you can't stop. So, oh, nope, got to keep going. We can't stop here. You know, she's protected, you know. And it's not a lot. It's not a lot. He's not requiring a lot. That's why he said that you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, because he knows that in this world, we are surrounded by so many different spirits and the enemy doing whatever he's doing, and we can't see it because it's a spiritual warfare. And so he's protecting us, and he's saying, just give me a little something to work with, just a little something. So that, you know, I can't even imagine getting up in the morning and the first thing coming out of my mouth not saying, thank you, Father God, this morning. Thank you for waking me up. He could have just let me sleep on. But he woke me up because he woke me up for a purpose. He woke me up to do something. Mothers and daughters, I want you to know, don't just get up and think about the two of you not getting along or some discussion that you had and you're still angry about it. Come on. That's why he said when you go lay down at night, don't go to bed with in your heart, because you don't know if you're going to wake up. And you don't want to have to face the Father knowing that you went to bed mad with someone. Let's just put it the way it is. You know, mad, angry. And then you don't wake up the next morning. Now you got, I don't know what would happen. I know, so don't get me to say something that I don't know. I don't know where you're going to end up at or what that would be or where you'd have to answer for that. But he asked you not to do it. So if he asked you not to do it, then there's some repercussions to that. And so we all have done it. We all have to be mindful of it. And it's easy to say, I guess, for me, because I'm here by myself and I'm not challenged, but we all challenge, and we just have to be mindful. And the main thing is just always to say thank you and just ask for help. That's all I do. Holy Spirit, just help me do the best that I can, because every day there is a challenge. There is a challenge. Thank you, Cynthia, for that prayer. And audience, I just want you to know that when we come to you, we just come as humble as we know how, just to share what the Lord placed on our heart. Don't mean that we are perfect women or that we are better than you in any way, shape, or form. We just sharing our testimonies and our stories, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to someone. It'll connect something, connect a couple thoughts for you to give you clarity, some wisdom and understanding, or it may be something that may click and touch your heart. And you say, well, I know I have this friend at work, and her daughter's going through, that you may share that with them. And they can always get in touch with us at Mother and Daughter, the Mother and Daughter website, or they can email me at DrBessie1. I'll be glad to talk to anybody about anything that they're going through. And it's not all about money either. That's what I tell people. When you're sharing the Word of God, it's not about money. It's what can I say the Holy Spirit used me to say to somebody to be a blessing. That's what it's about. Thank you, Cynthia, and I'll come back and get you in a few minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, mothers and daughters out there, you know, this is, when Cynthia said, you know, she's still hanging in there, this is 11 years. We're going on 11 years on this radio program. I'm just amazed when I think about it that I've been up on Saturday morning for 11 years. And have done this, you know, God just showed me, he said, some people have a building and they preach the gospel. This is a part of your ministry to the point where you get up and I ask you to teach the gospel. Now, I could have been doing it on a Monday night, and those of you who have heard me say this probably a couple times or so, I was asked to do this before, at least 2 years before, I actually, not counting 11 years. And when God asked me to do the radio program, I was nervous, scared, and thinking, well, you know, suppose I make a mistake, I'll say the wrong word, you know, Lord, I'm not all of that, and, you know, I can talk one-on-one, but I went through all of that, and I can only imagine, sort of like Moses, you know, I'm stuttering, Lord, you know, get Aaron to talk. He's the one that's a talker. But God don't always pick the one that you think he's going to pick. Like when he picked me, I was like, I'm not equipped for this, Lord. But what did I do? I started it, and then I decided not to do it. I'm like, nah, Monday night, excuse me, when I get off from work and I was running the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center and, you know, all counseling and all kind of things going on, you got to rush home, get ready to get on the air at 7 o'clock. And at that time, I had two gentlemen that was running it the way the switchboard was set up. And so I had to be there on time. Everything had to be into them so that they would know what I'm talking about. It was just a hot mess. I could not keep up with it. And I decided I wasn't going to do it. And I went like that for a little while, and then all of a sudden God said, I told you to do the radio program. And so now since you couldn't do it on Monday night, then you're going to be doing it on Saturday morning. And his thing was, when everybody else is running out playing on the weekend, you're going to be there doing the radio show. And I got that. See, disobedience comes with a price. But now it doesn't bother me because there's nothing I can do between 10 and 11 but serve the Lord because he asked me to do it. And anything else I want to do, I got the rest of the day if he gives it to me. And 9 times out of 10, I'm not doing that much anyway. So, I mean, you know, I said, Lord, I welcome it, and I don't think about it, but if this is what I do. The only time we're not here is when we are traveling, we put on another show, but we are also, if we're doing a mother and daughter conference or something else that is going on. So I just wanted to say this morning, mothers and daughters, that regardless of what, just carve out a little time. Just something that's just you and God. Just have that one little place in your house that you have an altar, a spot that you go to. That's just you and God. Let him know this is our place. When I come here, I'm in that spirit. I have that place in my home. And I'm telling you, when I walk in there, I take off my shoes because there's something in my head that says, this is holy ground. So you have to create that atmosphere. You have to create that relationship with God. You know, it's not, it cannot be like somebody else. Just because I told you this is what I have, and you go copy it and say, well, you know, Dr. Fletcher has this, so I'm going to have this. You know, create your own thing. Because then God knows that came from you. It came from you. You're not copycatting. It came from you, and it's dear and precious. Lord, I did this for you. So when I go into that spot and I sit there, it doesn't take a quick second. You can feel the Spirit of the Lord just coming and just embracing you and just like a big hug because he knows that I'm here just to sit and talk and to listen. A lot of times I'm learning, shut up, don't say nothing, just feel it, just feel it, just feel the Spirit, because we do a lot of talking, and we don't do a lot of listening, and when you don't listen, you cannot be a doer of the word. Doers come from listeners. Talkers, you get in there and get to talking, then God's going to just listen to you because you're not giving him an opportunity to talk. It's not a conversation. It's a dictation. So you decide, do you want to dictate to God or do you want to have a conversation with God or do you want to just listen and get your instructions from God? You make the choice. Last week, our stimulating topic was the hope of a mother. Very good conversation. I mean, you know, without hope, what do you have? And hope and faith, I tell them, I always say that they're like twins. You can't have faith without hope. You can't have hope without faith. It's impossible. Because if you're hoping for something, you got to believe that it's going to happen. Because if you don't believe it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. That's why he said just have a little faith. You just got a little faith. And add it to hope. And as long as you believe, God said it, that's it. That's my bottom line. God said it. That's it. He cannot lie. So why am I going to doubt? No, it may not come when I want it, but I guarantee you his word will come. It will come into your reality if you believe it and don't doubt it. Now, don't believe it for 5 hours and then allow Satan to steal your faith and put doubt in place of it, because then everything stops. God moves by faith. Oh, you believe me, Bessie? Okay. My word is acted. It's activated in your life. Now, it's going to show up in the appropriate time. And see, faith without patience is a dangerous thing. So go back and listen to the show last week. It was very good. Today, our stimulating topic is mothers and daughters don't look back. That's powerful. Mothers and daughters don't look back. That's the most difficult challenge in a mother and daughter relationship. I was on a radio program a couple weeks ago. The last name is Kit, Miss Kit. Laura Kit. And she asked me a question about the challenges in a mother and daughter relationship. What would be the one thing that I would pull out? Of course, I didn't think about this at the time. It just popped in my mind as I'm speaking to you now. Had I thought about it, I would have said, mothers and daughters don't look back. It's in the looking back that keeps us from forgiving each other. It's in the looking back that keeps us reminded of something that happened, keeps it fresh on our mind. It's in the looking back that we cannot live in love. It's in the looking back that we can't go forward. You can't look back and expect to move forward. Just imagine you driving in a car, and the whole time you're driving in the car, you're looking in the rearview mirror. You're not looking ahead of you. You're looking in the rearview mirror, and it just projects all the things that happened yesterday, the day before, the week after that, the month after that, the year after that, the century after that, because it goes back deep into our unconscious mind. You can remember something that happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and if you concentrate on that and you focus on that, it will feel as if it just happened yesterday or today. So looking back is a dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous. It will destroy you. It's like Lot's wife. She was instructed, we are coming out. And when we get out and climb the hill, no one, Holy Spirit said, no one look back. Keep going. Because what was behind them was so damaging that the mind probably couldn't conceive what they would have seen. So everybody, you know, focusing on going straight, going up the hill, just imagine, and looking forward, just looking straight. But of course, you know, the enemy is saying, just look back and see what it talk about. You know, it's like Adam and Eve with the apple. You know, just look back and see. You just take a quick glance. No. We were told not to look back. That's a hard thing to do. It's just like when you're telling someone something, you say, okay, don't look now, but over to your right, there's so-and-so and so. And you might as well tell the person to look, because the minute you say don't look, their head automatically turns that way. It's just an instinct in the body. The body just wants to do what it wants to do. Just instinct, look. And before you know it, what happened? Locke's wife got caught up in the intro conversations of the enemy. Just look back. Just look back. Just a quick look. It's not going to hurt you. You want to see what happened. Look, you'll never know what happened if you don't look back. And she turned, and what happened? Turned to a pillar of salt. To the ground she went. I know sometimes when you think about the Bible, you say, wow, what stories. Yeah. God has a way of putting it out there. Turned to a pillar of salt. So when they got to the hill, they're looking for her. What happened? They had to what? Do the common denominator thing. Excuse me. They had to deduct. She must have looked back. But we must keep going. So that's what happens in our lives, mothers and daughters, when we have conflict, we have issues, even from a child that's 5 years old on up to her adult life. She remembers things that happened between her and her mother, even at age 5 when she's 40. Because what? It kept playing in her mind. It kept refreshing. It's like a computer, you hit refresh. And every time she looked back and every time she explored what happened, it gets bigger and bigger. And every time she refreshed it, it's just like something else add to it. Because what? She's trying to process and she must have did this or this must have happened. So now you're adding something to it. Before you know it, it's out of control. Only because you're looking back. Don't look back. Don't look back to Egypt. God brought you out. Open up the sea. Meaning that he opened up your way financially. He opened up your way for your health. That cancer that you thought was going to take you out, he opened up the way, removed it, walked you through it. That thing that you thought, Lord, if this, oh my God, this is going to kill me. Lord, I'm going to be embarrassed. Lord, if they find out, he opened up the way and had you to walk through it. He led you through it and he closed the sea behind you. But even when you get on the other side, like the children from Israel, they wanted to look back. They wanted to go back because they didn't trust Moses. Moses, how dare you bring us into this wilderness? We were better off with Pharaoh. Can you imagine slaves for hundreds of years? Slaves. And they wanted to go back. Because they were thinking they were finding some comfort in that. At least we were there, we had food, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't realize God opened up the sea. I can't even imagine. Just imagine yourself standing in front of the ocean. And God just opened the ocean up. And all you can see is dry ground. And you can walk through that pathway. That in itself has to take a great amount of faith to walk through. It was through Moses that God led them through, because you know they were afraid. I would have been afraid. The whole time, I'm not going to lie to you, I probably would have been like, oh, Lord. Whew. You know. And we have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus there. They had to trust in Moses and believe that Moses knew what he was doing and that God had spoken to him. Well, this is another man. That's what the problem was. It was like, okay, now this man here saying that God is telling him for us to walk through, does he know what he's talking about? Did he hear God right? So now I got to trust this man. So they were always challenging. They were always challenging Moses. They wanted to look back. They kept looking back. I want to go back. And they just kept going around in a circle, and God just allowed them to go around 40 years. But they never realized the present was their blessing. They had shoes on their feet for 40 years that did not rot. They had clothes on their back that did not wear out. They said, I'm hungry. We're tired eating vegetables. We want something else. God gave them manna from the sky. Just, you see bread floating down. Come on. Just floating down. Use your imagination. And then they got tired of that. I'm tired of eating greens and cornbread. I'm tired of this, and I'm tired of that. And then God said, okay, Moses, tell them. Because he's got to tell them, I hear them now. I hear them complaining. Do they not know that I hear them? Okay. They want meat, I will give them meat. And then he started sitting down. Nothing but just birds everywhere. So many, they were stacked on top of each other. They got tired of that. And they were still looking back. When you look back, you cannot appreciate what you have in your hands now. When you look back, you're saying, God, you're not doing anything for me now. This is what I wanted. This is where I was comfortable back there. And you really wasn't. But you are being disrespectful to God and saying, my present is not as good as my past. So mothers and daughters, when you're looking back at each other's errors and you're looking at things that each of you have done to each other, you cannot forgive. And what really gets to me is when people go with this thing of, oh, I forgive her, but I will never forget. Come on. We all know that. You can forget. You can have Alzheimer's and forget everything if God wanted you to. But it's so cute to say, I forgive, but I don't forget. That's not cute. And that's not forgiving. You have to turn that thing over to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? I forgive her. And I want you to remove it from my mind that it will not, the thoughts will not carry me back. That's how I do it. I forgive you. I love you. And see, people can't stop you from loving them. God said we're supposed to love each other. I love you. And I'm not looking back. I can care less about what happened yesterday. I am in today. This is where you have your peace. This is where you have your joy. This is it. Don't look back. So I had this Bible verse this morning that I was looking at because I was trying to see when the Holy Spirit gave me my topic. And I'm thinking about people looking back. I can think about the times when I used to look back. See, I can only tell my story. Well, I used to look back, and then I would get so engrossed in what I was looking back at that I'd start plotting and planning on what I was going to do to the person or what I was going to say when I see him again. Oh, yeah, the enemy love it when you do that because now he's got something to play with because now you're in his domain. He's like, oh, let me show you how we can get him. Let me help you out with this, Desi. When you see him, this is what I want you to say. And you get caught up in that crazy, your intro conversations are going on, and you get just caught up. So when you see the person, you're so hot. The minute you see him, it's just like flame comes out of you because you allow the devil to orchestrate your thinking. He loves it when he gets you in that position. But oh, he hates it when you see a person and you love them. When you say, I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to love them. Because really, when you think about it, we can't blame anybody about anything. Because we all make mistakes. And the person that you're thinking that done something to you, you've done something to somebody else. Come on, let's be real about it. So how in the world? How in the world you going to be mad with somebody when, you know, the log in your eyes, when you're looking at the spot in their eyes, the log in yours? Come on, if we measure this thing, we've all done something similar. So all we have to do is stay focused on our own journey, the one that we are traveling down. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look back at where the mistakes that you made, the things that you said or didn't say or should have said. Don't look back at those things. Forgive yourself, repent, and don't do them anymore. Just move forward in love. That's all it takes. He said to love each other. But don't look at what somebody else has done and try to make yourself greater than, because there's no greater sin. If it's a sin, it's a sin. That's the way it is. Not the description, not the details. It's a sin. Whatever falls under that is still a sin at the top. But you're never going to get better. You're never going to enjoy the life that God has planned for you, mothers and daughters, unless you focus on Jesus. I always tell people I put blinders on. I walk around in my life with blind, with those, like the horse that have those little flaps on each side of the eyes, so that way I don't get to look to the left or to the right. I just stay focused. This is a hard job. It's not easy to stay focused, because there's so many distractions to the right and to the left. And if you're not careful, they'll try to jump right straight in front of you. That's why you have to say, I serve Jesus Christ. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm behind you, Jesus. I'm right behind you. Don't let a lot of space get between you and Jesus. Stay as close as you possibly can. Keep your eyes straight. Because looking back will destroy you. Looking back, you cannot serve God. You cannot serve God with your mistakes and your guilt and your feeling of I'm not worthy. Those are the words and the energy that the enemy wants you to live in. If you don't feel that you're worthy because you've done something, you need to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Just repent. Now, you got to mean it. Ask for forgiveness. Shake it off. It goes in the back archives of your mind. Let it stay there. Keep moving. Because if we didn't have Jesus to cover our sins, we'd all go to hell. So don't worry about what you've done in the past. Live right now in this present. At this present moment, you can just say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I repent for all sins. I ask you to forgive me. It's nice if you can label, because some of them are so deep on your mind that it torments you in your sleep. It torments you when you're trying to have some peace. Speak those things to Jesus. Speak them. Just tell them about it. This is what I want you to forgive me for, and I repent. Now, it means what? You're going to go on. You're not going to go back and do that again. Repentance means to let it go. Turn from your ways. Stay focused. Follow Jesus. Does it mean you'll never make another mistake? No. Repent. Keep going. That's what it's all about. You're never going to get to the point where you're perfect until you wake up one morning and you're looking at Jesus. And hopefully he'll say he know who you are. If you haven't had that relationship, he might say, you know, like, nah, and who are you? I don't want to get there and Jesus don't know me. That would not be good for me. So you play it the way you want to play it. So I try not. I try to follow the rules. You know, when you know, once we keep going back and examining the past, if you're doing this, you know that you're doing it, and this is touching your spirit, then you need to deal with it. There's no security in looking in the past. Your security is looking at Jesus. You know, and there's no security, and there's no greatness is because she did this to me, I'm going to do this to her, I'm going to get her back. No. Michelle Obama said, when they go low, you go high. Don't even get down to their level. Because, see, they'll have to deal with that. That's up to them to go to the Lord for. The Lord's watching them. You just stay focused on what you need to stay focused on, mothers and daughters. And when I say mothers and daughters, I'm saying if you all having a difficult time, you both need to stop and have an honest conversation. And mother, I would suggest that you take the lead on this. You are the oldest. You are the wisest. You have more years than your daughter on this earth. You've had more experiences, good, bad, and different. You're the one who should lead into this intro conversation, to bring these intro conversations out, to have an honest conversation. First by apologizing, asking for forgiveness. Be honest. And then move into that joy, because it's nothing like having a good relationship with your daughter or your son, your children, someone that you cared for 9 months, there's an attachment there. And you are not comfortable when you're not speaking to each other, when you're not having family dinners, when you're not being together as a family in peace. You are not comfortable, mother. You cannot tell me that you are. And you have to make sure that you don't look back. And then you reach back and get your children, and you teach them not to look back. They will follow your lead. That's why you're the mother. God didn't reverse it and had the daughter to raise up the mother. He had the mother to raise up the daughter, meaning that you should have some time on the earth to have wisdom and understanding before you have a child. That's why a five-year-old can't have a child. God wants you to have some years. Get some wisdom, some understanding, some knowledge to prepare you to bring a human into the earth. Some of us get it, some of us don't. And you could be 70 and 80 years old. Like I said, as a Christian clinical psychologist, I have people in my office all the time, all ages. And they're still dealing with issues about their mothers and daughters, even at 75 years old, 80 years old, 86 years old. I think that's the oldest that I can remember in a session talking about her mother as her daughter is talking to her about their relationship and as her daughter is talking to her. So three generations in that office. And the mother says, well, you know, I didn't have a relationship with my mother. And she gets to spill out what she's lived 86 years, tormented. So she felt, I didn't know how to give you what I didn't get. Now, that is something to see. But she's been looking back for 86 years. Why my mother did this to me? Why my mother allowed this to happen to me? And then here's this 57-year-old woman, I think she was 56. Here she is talking about, but that's what you did to me. And then that 56-year-old woman had a 30-year-old daughter saying, well, that's what you did to me. And I'm looking and I said, do you all see this? You can't beat the 86-year-old up. She didn't know. She didn't have it. And she was not a Christian. So she didn't get that spiritual side corrected. And I wanted to take her there. But because of her belief system, that was not her belief system. There was another religion in place. But that wasn't my job. My job was to let them see and give them tools to work with so that they could come together to find peace, because it was all about a little grandson, the great grandson. And the daughter was saying, I'm not going to allow my son to be affected by all the junk that you all brought me through. And if you all don't clear this up, then you're not going to see my son. You see what looking back can do? For years, almost 90 years. That's just one of the few sessions that I've had. But that one, the reason I remember that one so much and talk about that one so much, because we started at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We didn't get out of there until 6 that Saturday evening. And still, the 50-some-year-old mother didn't get it. And the daughter said, Dr. Bessie gave us a plan. If you can't agree to that plan, then you're not going to see your grandson. And if I walk out this door and you don't agree to that plan, then you will not see your grandson. I promise you that. She didn't believe it. She still was looking back. Looking back before the divorce, looking back, you know, I don't want you to be with your father. Deny your father. Looking back. And it took 6 months. And she called me one day, the 56-year-old mother. And she yelled and screamed at me and said because of me, she couldn't see her grandson. And I listened to her, and I let her just have her say. And then I told her, I said, but see, you're so busy looking back at the past, you can never come to the future and the plan that we was putting in place. But your daughter told you, she said, if I walk out this door, and you don't agree before I walk out this door, that you will not see your grandson. So how does that, or what does that have to do with me? But see, she was angry. She had to take it out on somebody. All she had to do was agree to the terms of the mother, which was, you're not going to affect the things that you do. I can't have my son involved in that environment. You make some adjustments, then you're more than welcome to be in his life. So when I look back at Philippians 3:13-14, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's simply put, elegantly stated, and clear. Forget those things which are behind you. He's letting you know. They mean you no harm. They mean you no good. And reach for those things before you. And like I said, if you align yourself with Christ, the thing that's going to be before you is Christ. Reach for that mark. Reach to be the type of person Jesus was. And 9 times out of 10, you won't make the mistakes that you made prior to the presence. Okay? Looking ahead, let me go to the switchboard. Good morning, Cynthia again. Let me make sure I get it.
Not to be.
Good morning. Yes. Okay, that's
good morning.
That's the word from the Lord. Mothers and daughters, don't look back. What's your take on that?
Well, there's so much to be said about that because, you know, I just have to chuckle when you have the morning discussions and when you bring on Saturday discussion because it's almost parallel oftentimes when we have class the night before. I ended up only having one student show up for class last night, but it was a needed time just for her. And so I often sometimes get perturbed when the students don't show up the way they're supposed to. But last night we talked about this very thing about the dysfunction of looking back. And, you know, the biggest problem with us looking back is that we, despite the dysfunction of what it was, we have become slaves to unforgiveness. We have become slaves to the past. When we don't know how to keep going. And there's a scripture that you mentioned earlier, and it's Luke 9:62. No one gets anything from God looking back. And he says that, and he warns us, don't look back, look ahead. Unforgiveness keeps us looking back. God had to be. I mean, he has to do a deep work in us. You mentioned that grandmother and another situation, and she was so busy trying to not comply to the plan that you put in place that, like you said, she had to blame somebody. She would not take on her responsibility for the dysfunction in the relationship. So, looking back brings us, we cannot receive anything from God looking back. That's the biggest thing that I took away from that. You can't fully experience freedom because you think like a slave, you act like a slave to this thing called unforgiveness. And the children of Egypt, and you mentioned those 40 years, they spent 40 years of dysfunction being slaves, but yet they looking back on the memories and the emotional ties to that dysfunction. And they'd rather be in that than take a chance on going to the promised land that God has for us. It's just interesting how unforgiveness keeps us connected to memories and unproductive emotional ties. There's no production, we cannot prosper in our souls when we are constantly looking back at the past. The problem as believers, oftentimes, you mentioned also about how man, even back then, they didn't have Jesus, but they had Moses. And just like us as believers now, they believed in Moses when they saw him do miraculous things, but how quickly we forget. And we look at the humanity of Jesus the same way. We can know that he's performed a miracle. He saved our children. He saved us. And yet we forget that he's the Messiah because we're looking at the man, humanity of Jesus, and not the fact that he's the Messiah. So looking back hinder us from being effective in the lives of others. I was talking to the student last night about her getting this degree in psychology through the advancement of self-psychology, and I'm like, what is the point of taking a year out of your life to learn all the principles of self-psychology and you not apply it? You were in prison and you didn't have anything else to do. But the point is, don't waste the wisdom and knowledge that God has given you. You are the one who's seeking wisdom and knowledge. The daughter is the one who was seeking wisdom and knowledge. So it's no surprise to me because when that daughter made that call to you, she was the one who's seeking wisdom and knowledge. The mother, not quite there yet. But if you want a relationship with your relatives, your daughters, you have to learn to forgive the past. The problem, what happens when we're unforgiving, is that we become slaves to anger. And that is what runs our life. I tried to talk myself out of being angry. I told myself from the age I was 13 that I was not angry at my mother and father for not being there. But I had a wise instructor and program director at Trinity International that saw beyond my facade. She saw the anger, and she kept asking me, why are you so angry? Of course, in denial. I didn't know I was angry because I tried to talk myself out of it for so many years. But just like I had to do my work, God has to do a work in us that we can. But if you don't seek wisdom and knowledge, you're not doing your work. You won't find forgiveness unless you first come to Christ, number one, and let him do the work in you, because you're relying on self. You're relying on the knowledge of man, which is your own knowledge about the thing and your own perception about the thing. But it's not until God could do a work in us through Christ Jesus that we are able to find true forgiveness. And people say, well, I've been saved. Okay, but what are you doing with the wisdom and knowledge of being saved? Are you using it? Do you have the God-like attitude? Jesus was hanging on the cross, and what did he say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I truly understand that concept now. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That mother, forgive her, for she know not what she does. But here's the thing. That's not going to wash as an excuse when you're looking on Judgment Day, when you have to face God. He ain't going to let you use that as a excuse. Oh, I didn't know anybody. Really? How long were you down there? How many times did you have the opportunity to seek wisdom and knowledge so you can find forgiveness, so you can mend this relationship? Yeah. So that's not going to wash. Over there, left side. I'm using that because that's how we're going to be. Because I want Jesus to know me when I get there. I want to have the Jesus-like attitude towards anybody, any situation for the rest of my life. I said yesterday, God, I just want to please you. I want the Jesus-like attitude. No matter who or what I've done, I've been forgiven because he said so. And so now I'm going to walk in that forgiveness, and I'm going to forgive people who have hurt me, and I pray that people forgive me, those who have hurt me, that I've hurt them. I thought about a relationship that I abandoned when I was a young girl. But I prayed this week that this man can, because we don't know how our behavior affects the rest of the lives of people. Sometimes it takes people off course, and they never get back on course because they simply can't forgive you for abandoning them. Mothers, daughters struggle to forgive you for abandonment. They have abandonment issues most of their lives if they don't seek the wisdom and knowledge of God that they can forgive the past. And I prayed this week, and I'm up here I'm down in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, where I abandoned that relationship when I was 17 years old. I don't know. And I ran into this person's sister a couple of years ago. And she said, oh, he's just being who he is. But I don't know if my abandoning, walking away and never saying goodbye, caused this man to stay stuck and not be able to move forward in his life. I know one thing. That this man fought for my honor when some things were said about me as his girl. And I had the nerve to abandon the relationship. Never said goodbye, just left. And I prayed this week that this man is able to find forgiveness for me. And I prayed that I did not affect him in a negative way, that he stayed stuck in where he is. Because from what I understand, the conversation that I had with his sister, that he never moved beyond being a 17-year-old. And I pray that I don't have anything to do with it, but I could have. Because it's abandonment issues. Mothers and daughters have abandonment issues.
Yeah, well, we're going to pray. We're about out of time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Lord,
no,
I just
go ahead and wrap it up.
Pray, Father. I was going to pray. I just pray, Father God, that mothers and daughters will allow themselves to forgive each other for the abandonment issues. Sometimes mothers abandon us physically, but daughters grow up abandoning their mothers emotionally because of the hurt of being abandoned as a child. So, Father God, we come against the spirit of unforgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that siblings will forgive each other and be able to love beyond what they see. Have a Jesus-like attitude. That's my prayer for us mothers and daughters today, that we would have a Jesus-like attitude. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Amen. All right, audience, I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, audience, that's our show. Thank you, Cynthia. That was wonderful. I'm sure you touched some hearts with that story. God bless you, ladies, and mothers and daughters, remember the words, don't look back. Stay focused, look forward, go forward, but you have to go through this one process, forgiveness, to get there. Thank you, Cynthia. Great show.
Thank you. Hey, man, let me tell you something. Time goes so fast. My eyes was closed as I was talking. I didn't even know the time went by so fast. When you said that we're out of time, I was like, I am so sorry, audience. Bye-bye. Have a great one.
Okay, bye-bye. God bless you, ladies.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Goodbye, mothers and daughters. See you next week.